איך שנסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים, אותו עלה של זית אל מחר נוטה ליפול. אז בוא נתפור את הקרע, האשליה שבגבולות, שמפרידה עיניים, לא לדעת, לא לראות.
Brought to you in part by Aspire Orthopedics of Tillamook Regional Medical Center, providing joint replacement on the North Oregon coast, with orthopedic surgeon Brett LaFleur. More information at 503-815-2292 and aspireortho.org.
You're listening to Light on Health, and this is Dr. Allie Evans. In this show, we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affects your health and that of our entire community. And this month, for people who aren't aware, is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we're all supposed to be wearing teal, which I think is super beautiful, but we don't see many people wearing teal. And my guest today is here. She is the executive director of The Harbor, and her name's Terry Steenbergen. And we are going to be talking about what the Harbor offers our community, but even greater than that, Sexual Assault Awareness Month and what we can share with others far and wide. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I just learned that you're new to Astoria, which I didn't know.
Yes. I've been here 2 months now.
Yeah.
It's an amazingly beautiful town.
And you dared to move here in the wintertime.
Yes. Well, it's actually, I don't know if you noticed, but most of March was really beautiful. So
yeah, we have the teaser spring, and then the rain comes back.
Yes, hopefully it'll come back. The sun will come back again.
Yes. Well, tell us first just a little bit about you and how you ended up at the Harbor and doing work in sexual assault and domestic violence and this line of work.
Well, I have a sort of circuitous route here, but most of my career has actually been in politics and campaigns and election work. And at one point I decided that I wanted to actually take all the skills that I've learned in managing and directing campaigns and use that towards women's health and supporting women. So I went back to school and got my master's in public health in international health and in gender-based violence in 2013. And then after that, spent some time in Central Africa working with survivors and helping families, both survivors of gender-based violence and also families displaced by conflict. So that's where my background starts in this. And then since I got back from Africa in 2015, I've been trying to find a job like this. And finally, I have. And
I know this kind of seems like the perfect handwritten job for that.
Yeah,
having that passion.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. This is really what I've always wanted to do, and I always saw myself as the executive director of an organization like this. So I'm really excited to be here.
And then the opening just happened to open up, and you saw it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I should do that.
Here's everything I've ever been waiting for,
and I get to live on the coast.
That's right. Well, welcome to Astoria.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, let's start by talking just a little bit about the month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month and what that means and what that embodies. And then we'll talk a little bit about what the Harbor has to offer.
Okay. Well, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is the month of April, so we're nearing the end now. And the idea behind it is just to bring awareness to sexual assault. I think in the past few years, there's been a lot more awareness just in general around the issue, but I think there's still a lot that people don't know and don't understand. And I think, you know, there's a couple really great things about this month and bringing awareness around sexual assault. One just being that survivors themselves, the knowledge that there are other survivors out there and that there are other people that are going through the same thing that they are, and that there are places like the Harbor out there that that are there to support them in what they need, I think is really valuable knowledge. And I think helps people to then tell other people about what's happened to them and go through that process or start the process of healing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and something I see really often in my practice is you have, you know, let's say a trauma or ongoing traumas. it's so, there's so much shame involved for the victim, I think, that it's very easy to not want to talk about it or seek support, or I think it's very isolating and it's in just the nature of it. Yeah. And then the healing oftentimes becomes this isolation to just make that shame or pain go away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You see people, there is a lot of shame around the issue, and not talking about something just makes it worse, I think.
Bigger,
so even
bigger.
If you feel like you're healing in some way, if you are holding it all in, I think eventually it's going to come out in some way.
Right.
And so I think it's good for people to know that there's other folks out there and that there are people that can help them and that they shouldn't feel ashamed because, it's not their fault.
Right.
Also, right.
I love that idea of, I think it even says on your website, on the Harbor website, it is never the victim's fault.
Right.
I think that is something that is so often how the victim feels.
Yeah.
In some way, they kind of start replaying the story over and over, and it's, did I do this wrong? Could I have done that differently? Could I have stopped this?
Exactly.
And there's this process of, losing your power in that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's never the survivor's fault. And it's always the abuser that made the decision to do what they did, regardless of anything else that's going on or what the situation is or what the environment is like. So, so people should always know that.
And the whole idea of sexual assault, I know it's very easy for people when something like you see on the movies happens, right? Someone mm-hmm. jumps out of a dark alley and someone's assaulted or raped. Like, these images are so easy. I think it's some of the more insidious ways that assault happens, you know, whether it's in like an intimate partner relationship or, through kind of emotional manipulation or threats. Like, there's all these other ways it can show up. And I think oftentimes survivors don't realize that that's actually what's happening or that that's what's happening to them because it's not this overt violent act right. in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's around 80% of sexual assaults happen from somebody that the survivor knows.
Right.
So it's not usually that situation that you see in the movies of that scary guy hiding in a corner.
Right.
And then it's not just rape or an incest or sexual abuse as a child. It's, being grabbed sexually on any part of your body. It's like, so, and I think more people have experienced that than you want to imagine is the
right.
case, right? So,
yeah. And it's easy to brush off the less big acts in your mind to, it wasn't a rape.
Right.
Or it wasn't,
it's no big deal. He just grabbed my breast.
Right.
It's like, well, that's actually
or even
really
something,
invasive.
Right. And even something that the Harbor specifically works with too, stalking. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that same energy of when you're not consenting.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have complete control over what's happening to you in that moment. So
do you feel like, I know you're new specifically to the Harbor, but do you feel like the tide has changed at all, kind of in a national or global level with awareness, like looking at this awareness month and spreading awareness? Do you feel like it's more talked about, it's less taboo,
just as a general feeling?
Yeah,
yes.
Like, where are we evolving?
I feel like it is becoming more aware. I mean, you have the Me Too movement,
mm-hmm.
and people are paying more attention, and people are realizing more that this kind of thing just happens all the time, every
right.
day to people, in all walks of life. Right. So
it started
with celebrities talking about what happened to them. And, mm-hmm. and I think, for the longest time, I never realized that, it was a normal thing for people on the bus to like grab at you. Like, I just thought that was like something that happened to me every once in a while.
Right.
So and it shouldn't be normal. And I think that's one of the other things about Sexual Assault Awareness Month is that people are becoming more aware that it is kind of normal for this stuff to happen.
Right.
And that it shouldn't be. And so the more that we talk about it and the more that we put the shame actually on the abusers,
that's right.
Then, I think the less likely, less we'll see these things happening. hopefully, in the future.
Something that I've heard talked about is this idea of shame being an emotion or shame is something that needs to be healed at a village or tribe level or community level, meaning that it's that type of emotion that is best healed with others, which is really interesting when you think of the like making things more talked about, more, you know, you think of even in our culture talking about death, like it's such a taboo kind of scary thing that people think like if we just don't talk about it, it'll make it feel more comfortable. And really, it, like you said, it does the opposite, right? It becomes even more this like dark box in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, you can even think about like simple things that you might feel ashamed of, you know, that like maybe you did something that you, for some reason, it's like a small amount of shame, but then you think about it and you think about it and it sort of builds up inside you. And then you then, you know, call your sister and say, hey, I did this thing. And then
to which your sister's usually like,
okay, so what, right? You know, like it's always a bigger deal when it's building inside you than it actually is outside.
Yeah.
And obviously that's sexual assault is a big deal. But it's, you know, telling other people about what's happened to you and getting rid of that shame is a huge first step.
Yeah. And the harbor, something that is in your mission statement, which I think is so beautiful, is this idea of self-determination. Mm-hmm. Like that being part of the mission, I think is just, it's beautiful. What does it mean to you, that idea of what, you know, what the goal is in healing around assault and abuse?
I think the beginning of that, I think one, let me start over. So the harbor, one thing that we, you know, we are a fully confidential resource for survivors. So somebody can pick up the phone and call our crisis line and know that nobody will ever know that they did that, except for that the advocate that they talk to. We don't keep track of people's names. You don't even have to tell us who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good first step. And that is, it's all on the survivor to decide what happens next. So maybe they just want to talk. Maybe they are trying to decide if they want to prosecute. Maybe, you know, and all of that is up to the survivor themselves. Even using the word survivor instead of victim, right, is putting the power back into people's hands who had power taken away from them by this assault. And so I think it's that, you know, giving people that ability to be in control of what happens next, I think is huge, especially when you felt like you were totally not in control. For a little while. Yeah.
And that idea of being able to now, you know, it's like each moment we have this opportunity to start over. And this idea of from this moment on getting to be the creator in your own life and getting to decide this is the next right step for me. It may not be what my best friend or my sister or my physician or whoever thinks is the best next step. But for me, I get to be the creator in my own life.
Yeah, it's you have the power to decide sort of what the healing process should look like and how far you want to go with what happens next. And that's huge.
Yeah.
And as part of the healing process is understanding that you actually do have control again and that it is up to you. So,
for all of you listeners out there, we're talking to Terry Steenbergen, who's the executive director of The Harbor. And we're talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month and what The Harbor has to offer us locally. And do you also do work non-locally? Like if someone calls who's not a local, or is there kind of a limit to the services offered geographically?
Well, The Harbor serves all of Clatsop County.
Okay.
Anybody within the county. But anybody who's in the county. So if you came from Portland to Seaside, you know, on vacation or whatever, that is fine. We also do, you know, we collaborate some with other organizations around the state. So if there's a need to bring somebody into Clatsop County for safety reasons, then we'll do that too. But pretty much Clatsop County. I mean, if somebody is somewhere else and wants to call us, they're more than welcome.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You'll get them resources and help them. Yes.
Exactly.
So tell us, let's talk a little bit about what The Harbor does offer and what the purpose of The Harbor is.
So like I said, we are 100% confidential service. We provide 24-hour-a-day advocacy and support services for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And so we have a crisis line. So that's sort of the first entryway for most people is to give us a call. And sometimes people just want to talk, and sometimes people want to act. But we also have in-person services, so folks can walk in and speak with an advocate 5 days a week. And we also just provide support around whatever folks do need. So we, you know, we'll help people fill out stalking orders. We'll walk to the courthouse with people who need us to. We have shelter services for people who are looking for emergency confidential shelter. And so any part of that process, we're really available and there for folks. And I think the thing to remember is that we are confidential. We will never give out anybody's name or let anybody know that they're working with us unless they specifically ask us to.
And you're also not mandatory reporters, which is a really big deal.
Yes, we are not.
Will you talk a little bit about that? I don't know. I know for some of my patients, like if they come to talk to me, mm-hmm. especially if it's regarding a child, I as a physician am a mandatory reporter. So I, by law, have to report.
Right.
But
we do not need to
yes,
do that.
Which yes. is...
Yeah. And I think that's really helpful for lots of people to know. So you can tell us anything about anyone or anything, and we don't have to share that information with anybody
unless you want them to.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you want them, I mean, there's a process that we go through. You don't just say, hey, can you tell somebody about this?
Like, right.
Yeah.
So. Right. And I think something... that's just amazing to me. You know, any of the things that would get someone to the harbor is considered trauma, right? It's yeah. something that, whether it's ongoing for years and years in these little tiny acts, or whether it's, you know, one big trauma that happens. And when someone is in trauma, they cannot, I shouldn't say cannot, it's very difficult to be able to self-advocate and make decisions and know kind of that linear logical thinking that the brain needs for that executive functioning.
Yeah.
You know, it's by nature, we're in that adrenal fight or flight state. And so to have someone to literally hold our hand and tell us what to do next is...
Yeah, or not really tell us what to do, but give us the
yes,
options.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and I should also mention that we are not only available that first time. We'll work with somebody for as long as they need us to. Mm-hmm. There are people who come in one time and that meets their need, or, you know, there are folks that we've been working with for years. And I think that's an important thing to remember is that, you know, trauma is not something you just get over like a cold.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, you work through, and it takes time. It takes some people, you know, longer than others. It could take years. And so we're there and available to support folks in the ways that they need support to get through that.
Yeah.
That trauma.
And it's very nonlinear.
Yeah,
it's very,
exactly.
It's like, oh, I, you know, maybe I'm better. Oh, but nope. Here it is again.
You have good days. You have
yeah,
bad days.
Of course.
You know, things could go really well for a couple of years, and then one day something could happen and you'll just suddenly be back, you know, maybe where you started for a day.
Yeah.
So I think that's important for everybody to remember is that it's a process. And that.
And give us some examples of what will walk in the door, or who will call, who will walk in the door. Like, you know, obviously we can think of typical examples, but what are...
Well, we are available for anybody. So gender is not an issue. Men, women, people who are transgender, anybody from all walks of life is welcome to use our services. We see quite a few survivors of domestic violence who are looking to get out of the situation that they're currently in. We also see quite a few people who are looking for stalking orders or some sort of restraining order.
Yeah.
Does that answer?
Yeah. And something that I just learned recently, which I didn't even know, was that you'll also send, if someone needs to go, let's say, to the emergency room to have a rape kit done, or that you'll actually offer to accompany them if that makes them feel safer and more secure to go in.
We do. Yeah, we do. We respond to both sexual assault and domestic violence calls. Mm-hmm. So that is another thing. Our advocates are, they're amazing. I mean, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, they're really, truly doing amazing work. So 24 hours a day, if, you know, a hospital calls at 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody needs us to go to help during a sexual assault exam, we'll head out there and be there no matter where it is in the county also. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we will be there.
Yes. And I think the idea of what the Harbor's goal and aim is, it really could, I mean, obviously you're working within domestic violence and sexual assault and stalking, but really the goal of, you know, supporting people to be in their element and rebuilding self-love and self-worth and self-trust, like, isn't that what everyone, I mean, imagine a world where that was the goal of what everyone is doing, whether in therapy or in advocacy work or in whatever we're doing, that's the ultimate goal of healing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to live in that world.
Yeah. Well, me too. But I think the idea that there's no right way to navigate the healing process. I think the right way is where someone doesn't lose their power anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many options out there. So we're here just to sort of show people what the options are and help them figure out what the path is for them or the best path is for them and help find the resources that exist.
And then the Harbor also has support groups. Is that right?
Yep.
And when, where, how do they meet?
The support groups, if folks are interested in being in a support group, they should call us and we'll sort of tell them the details about it because they're pretty specific to, at the moment, safety needs. So we want to meet with folks and see if it's a right fit for them. And if our support groups aren't a right fit for them, we can find another one maybe.
Yeah. So let's say someone new finally gets up the kind of the courage and contacts you or contacts the Harbor. Mm-hmm. What's a typical, usually it'll be either a phone call or you have a physical location as
right.
well. They can walk in. Yeah. What typically happens? Let's say an incident happens, like one incident of, you know, a rape or a sexual assault, since it's Sexual Assault Month. Let's talk about that. Someone will call or go in. What typically, I know everyone's unique, but what could someone expect?
I think it's hard to answer the sort of what is the typical mm-hmm. response. Mm-hmm. I guess in an ideal situation, the first time that we see the survivor is actually at the hospital. So they go directly to receive care at the hospital because, you know, there's so much trauma that goes with sexual assault, both physically and emotionally. And so it's not always easy to go to the hospital, but you can. And it's also important for people to know is just because you do go to the hospital to get treatment, that doesn't mean you have to report it to the police. Mm-hmm. You can make that decision later. So the ideal situation is that in the instance of sexual assault, that's where we're meeting folks for the first time.
Yeah.
And helping them through that process. And then after that, it's definitely, you know, it's up to the survivor if she or he
right.
Feels like they need some larger protection, for example, like the abuser might come after them again. We can help them with a protective order. If they are looking just for, again, for support groups. If they're looking for somebody to just talk to, mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that we're there for, is that people just come in and talk for an hour. which is, as we talked about before, just a huge part of that process.
Yeah. I think often what I've seen is something, a trauma happens or is happening. The survivor finally speaks up, and often it's to a best friend or a family member. Mm-hmm. And I think the act of speaking is like obviously that first step, but oftentimes the person that they're speaking up to goes into go like action mode, because that's what humans like. That's kind of the reflexes. Let's get justice. Let's fix this. Let's get into action mode.
Right.
And I see like such this, what the harbor offers is this space for them to come back into themselves, to be able to decide whether action is necessary, whether, you know, ponder whatever is necessary. But without that sort of, this is what you need to do next, and you need to kind of jump into action.
Yeah. And I think, and I think it's totally natural that when you are close to somebody, you mm-hmm. want to fix it for them. And you know, or your response is to do something. And sometimes what people need is just for somebody to listen. And I think it's a completely natural response, especially if it's your sister or your best friend or somebody very close to you. You want to do everything that you can to help them. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and it's hard to hear that kind of thing. So I think that's the other thing that's great about our advocates, is that they're really compassionate, empathetic people who really want to help, but they're also a little bit removed from your situation, and so right. can have a clearer head about it.
Right.
And so they can wait for you to decide if you want to prosecute your abuser, or if you want to, you know, whatever the next step is, they can sort of wait mm-hmm. for you to come to that or give you those options without sort of pushing them on you.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Something I've heard often is the, you know, specifically when it comes to like date rape or more anonymous, like, you know, online dating that leads down a really bad path, is, well, you ought to do this to protect everyone else who this person could right. come in contact with. And I think, of course, you don't want that to happen to anyone else, but that might not be right for that individual's healing.
Right. I mean, for us, the survivor is the most important part of this right. whole thing. And it's entirely up to them for what they want to do next. And of course, we want to get these horrible people off the streets. But, you know, that process is not easy. So,
right.
you know, we're survivor centered, and we will stay that way.
Yeah.
And help
which
them.
Is a good yeah. distinction. Yeah. Yeah. So just to recap, the harbor is a place people can go when they're obviously with sexual assault, like we've been talking about, in any form, mm-hmm. whether it's in an intimate relationship, whether it's a traumatic violent assault, that any form of sexual assault, any form of domestic violence or abuse and stalking, that's kind of the...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know if you fit in that category, just call them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's another important thing to remember, is that some people who are going through these experiences don't necessarily know that mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize, you know, that they are in a, you know, a violent situation.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, you know, if ever somebody feels like something's not quite right, they should just call us.
Yeah.
You know? And we're not going to tell them if it is right. We're just going to listen, and they can figure it out. And
yes.
we'll help them figure it out.
Yeah.
But I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, because some of the other, you know, being emotionally manipulated by your spouse or your partner
right.
is abuse. So you are not consenting to that.
Yeah, it's emotional violence. It's psychological yeah. violence.
Yeah, I mean, people, but it's a lot harder for yeah. people to recognize that that's what's going on, or that something's not right with that.
Right. You people have that sort of feeling of, oh, is it me? Am I
yes.
doing something? And so, yeah.
Right. So the best way, give us all the ways for people to get in contact with the harbor.
Well, the first one is to call our crisis line.
Okay.
And I'll give you that number right now.
Yep.
It's 503-325-5735. And again,
say that one more time.
503-325-5735.
Okay.
And we are...
And that's 24/7. You can call anytime.
365 days a year.
Amazing.
Somebody will be there to talk to.
Great.
Between 9 and 4, Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
Except on Wednesdays, actually, only from 9 until noon.
Sounds very Astorian.
I know. We are open for in-person advocacy services, and so you feel free to just walk in. You don't need to call first. You don't need to make an appointment. And that's
the address is 801 Commercial.
Yep.
Where is it next to?
We're actually just across from the courthouse and near the post office, right on that corner.
Yep. Okay.
So those are the...
And you have a website.
And we have a website.
Okay.
And that's harbornw.org.
Harbornw.org. Yeah. Okay.
And if you do go straight to the emergency room after a sexual assault, the hospitals will call us.
Great.
So that's a good thing to know, too.
Yes.
We work very closely with these folks, and everybody's our partners. So.
Well, thank you for all the work you do, and thanks for coming on and talking.
Of course.
This month especially.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity.
Yes. You've been listening to Light on Health, and thank you. A very special thank you to Terry for speaking with us, and thank you to my engineer, Dylan. It's my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a good rest of your day.
היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה אותו כחול גדול.